Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. Tonight we are still feasting on our show from last week. Sister Joy did an impossible task of covering so much information in such a short time. You have to be well versed in the topic and anointed to do what Sister Joy did on the show last week. And if you haven't taken the time to listen to that show, you are just too busy. Everybody needs to hear that show. I hope that you have a pencil and paper ready for the sermon that starts tonight. We know that the song that started the show was a happy feel-good song. And before we bring you a message with a lot of strong teaching in it, we're bringing you a recorded church service. This message tonight puts the book, The Seven Habits of a Highly Effective People, to shame. This message on the seven prayers of submission is life-changing for those of you that will apply it. We promise that everybody can find some good spiritual eating in this message. And if you can, treat this like a church service that you are attending. Take part where they ask you to take part. If you do, then you can find yourself being blessed in ways much greater than just listening. And now, let's have a listen.
And praise the Lord, everybody. And praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to Pastor Hadaball. Appreciate him so very much for all he has done for the kingdom of God globally and in this community as well. And such an honor to preach behind this sacred desk, and I'm so thankful to be here with you. Honor to my beautiful wife and my children for the years of traveling. And I believe I've received some direction from the Lord for you tonight, wherever you may be, in your home or in your vehicle. I have two places of scripture. I'd like to go to the book of James, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and then a page or two over, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7. James 4, verses 6 and 7, and 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. I give honor to all the ministry here at POCC. Thank you for having us today. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Thank you. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I want to give you tonight something the Lord gave me in the prayer closet, and that is the seven prayers of submission. The seven prayers of submission. And I pray that if you can get this, this will help you to walk in supernatural spiritual authority over the spirits of the enemy that attack you and your family. Wherever you are right now, would you join me in prayer? Get your family near if you're with them at home. I feel the angel of the Lord just brush by me just now. Lord Jesus, have your way in this room tonight, and I pray whoever I am speaking to, that you would take over every atmosphere in every home, every vehicle, every situation. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would release your absolute authority in every crisis going on, both in this church and in this nation and in this world. I pray, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have your way tonight, Lord. Use me as a vessel that gives you glory and honor tonight. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's something powerful about understanding the will of God is for you to walk in spiritual authority. It is the will of God for you to walk in authority against anything the devil brings against you. God desires for you to have dominion over everything the devil attacks you with. God desires for your reactions to be reactions of authority when you are attacked by the adversary. It is the bait of Satan to get people into arguments and to division. But if you're going to argue, argue like an angel. When Michael wrestled Satan over the body of Moses, he did not get into an argument with him, but instead said to the angel, "Lucifer, the Lord rebuke thee." In other words, Michael knew if I tried to argue with this angel who's got a great voice, the devil himself, he will win the argument. But if I speak from the position of authority that I stand
stand in my submission to the God of the entire planet, then the God of that planet will back me up in everything that I'm fighting for, which at that time was the body of Moses on this earth. In other words, if you're going to fight the enemy, you want to fight from a position of authority, not a position of trying to prove your power. I believe it is the will of God, no matter where you are at home right now, that you have dominion over every spirit that attacks your family, over every spirit that attacks your children, attacks your marriage, or attacks your mind. It is the will of God that you walk in dominion against anything hell brings against you. And there is a pathway to authority, and that pathway is submission. And it's kind of like when Elisha walked around with Elijah. Elijah had this great authority. He could call down rain. He could call down fire. He could raise the dead. No one else had ever done that before. He walked in a dimension no human being was walking in. And Elisha gets the privilege of walking with this great man of God. And Elisha, the Bible said, took water and poured it on the hands of the man of God. Water that would have quenched his own thirst. He said, I'd rather the water go through the hands of the man of God in my life and hit the ground and look like a waste than for me to consume the water and quench my thirst. And you read that, you think nothing of it until years later when he gets the mantle of Elijah and half the miracles Elisha performs involve water. In other words, God gave Elisha dominion in the dimension where he served in submission. If you will serve in submission, you'll walk in dominion where you are submitted. So I could smite a river and it would open. Why I could tell Naaman, dip seven times in the water and the water is going to heal that leprosy in your body. That's why I told the people surrounded by the enemy, dig ditches, fill them full of water. The enemy will see it full of blood. Story after story where Elisha walked in dominion because at one time he was submitted in that dimension. So the pathway to authority is submission. But let me say this, the pathway to submission, you don't just start getting the Holy Ghost and getting baptized and you're instantly submitted. The pathway to submission is humility. Yeah, like what Brother Hernandez and Brother Stonking both told me the same story at different times. I guess God needed to repeat it to me. And they said there was a preacher one time, a young preacher that was at a big old church, and he was excited to preach there, and he kind of strutted up to the platform and strutted across to the front of the pulpit, and he strutted the whole time he got to there. When he started preaching, he bragged about himself, and when he got done bragging about himself, he tried to preach, and he flopped. And when he got done preaching, he left with his shoulders hung down, his head hung down, and walked out. And when he walked out, he walked off the platform, and an elderly lady met him at the base of the platform, and she said, "Had you walked up the way you walked off, you would have walked off the way you walked up." In other words, humility is the key to the favor of God. Brother Hernandez, who just went on to the Lord, and it's terrible for me and other people, but he would teach me things on humility all the time. Humility is the dress code of the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says you had to be clothed with humility. If you don't get that, you go nowhere in the kingdom of the Lord. He would tell me heaven operates through humility while hell operates through pride. And therefore, if you are operating in pride or humility, you will quickly determine and see the efforts of the team that's near you. If you are operating through pride, you'll have more demonic activity around you all the time because hell is attracted to pride. But heaven is attracted to humility. Heaven is attracted to people that do not think they're worth anything, but for the mercy and for the grace of God, here they are, and they're thankful. Is there anybody watching that is thankful for what the Lord has done? If it had not been for the Lord, none of us in the kingdom.
That's why the Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. In other words, that's a passcode for favor. I want you to put that down if you're home. I want you to write that down. Humility is the password for favor, or the passcode into the dimension of favor. If you want favor, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Lower yourself when you don't have to. And it gives you and gives God access to exalt you later on in life, because he now sees that you have humbled yourself under his mighty hand. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If we will lower ourselves under God's will and God's power, we will find the favor of God in our life. And you cannot be submitted without humility, because a submitted spirit comes from a humble spirit. People that are never submitted always reek of pride. People that are not submitted to the man of God, to the leadership of the church, or to God, they always reek of pride, because it's luciferic, it's satanic. Lucifer was the one who originated pride when he would refuse to submit himself to God Almighty, but instead said, I will be like the Most High. That's satanic, and therefore, that's where pride originates from, and that's why God hates a proudful look, because as soon as someone starts to look proudful, God says, that reminds me of the look I received from an angel years ago. But humility is the key to submission. The Lord showed me 7 things to pray every morning. And these 7 things, if you will pray them daily, before you talk to your spouse, before you talk to your boss, before you make a phone call or send a text, before you do your morning prayer, before you read the word, I want you to understand these are 7 things that can help you walk in authority every day of your life. Every day, if you will vocally pray this out, this won't take you long at all, but it will help you. Number one, vocally every morning, submit yourself to the Word of God. Every day when you wake up, let the enemy know, let your flesh know, I am submitted to the Word of God. Here's why. If you're not submitted to the Word, you will be submitted to your own emotions and your own feelings and your own reactions and your own opinions and your own mentality about your own views about things. But when you say every day, I submit myself to the Word of God, you will realize and you will be able to admit, sometimes I am wrong about people, about situations, and therefore I let the Word of God trump my feelings. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The entrance of thy words bringeth light. The Bible said the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's so quick, it's so powerful. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, you may not be shouting over that, but if you'll do it, you'll get checked every time you're wrong. Because the Word will be a light to you. And let me just say this, you can't submit to it if you're not reading it. Don't say you're submitted to it if you read it whenever the preacher takes his text. And that's it. Because that's not submission. Submission to the Word is I put it in my spirit. I submit to what it says. How do you submit to something if you don't know what it says? So you submit to the Word. Let me give you something else for free here. The Bible said in the armor of God in Ephesians, talking about the different dimensions of the armor of God, which is a pattern of prayer also, by the way, that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And then it says the next verse, praying always. And so before you even tap into prayer, he's talking about putting the armor of God on when you're fighting the devil. And the last thing he tells you to do before you pray is to get the sword or the Word. Here's why. That
That sword creates a pathway for your prayers to go up. Let me help you right now. Anytime you feel to read the Word of God vocally out loud and you don't even know why you're doing that, it's because stuff is in the atmosphere that would hinder your prayers from going up. And therefore, when you start to read out loud, you swing the sword in the atmosphere, and you create a pathway for your prayer to go up. When you read the Word silently, the sword goes to work inwardly on the flesh that's in the way of the prayer. That's why it's powerful to read your Bible when you are praying, because the sword can create pathways in the spirit for your prayers to go up to God.
Number two, submit yourself vocally to the name of Jesus. This will keep you from pride, because if you submit anything in your life to the name of Jesus, no matter what comes to give your name glory, or your name fame, or your name attention, or your name adoration and exaltation, it will have to go through you to the name that you're submitted to. The opposite is also true. If you do not submit to the name, you submit to your own name. But when you live a life of submission to the name of Jesus, when stuff comes at you that's got a name on it, you recognize that no matter how powerful the name of the attack is, whether it's anxiety or anger or fear or hatred or whatever it is, when that thing comes at you, you realize that the name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So therefore, you know, if you're being attacked by anxiety, anxiety is not as big as the name of Jesus. And therefore, you cannot submit yourself to the anxiety trying to get inside of you, because you've already submitted yourself to a higher name. Number three, submit yourself to the blood. Here is something very powerful that's never getting preached. We got a lot of people that plead the blood but don't submit to the blood. It doesn't work to plead something if you're not submitted to it. The blood has laws. You were bought with a price. Let me just break it down. Remember when Moses said, look, we're about to leave tonight. We're going to leave Egypt. Death angels coming down. Everybody get that lamb, kill the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. Remember that? And if the angel comes to your house and sees the blood, he won't kill your firstborn. But then Moses said something else. And make sure you stay in the house. Because the blood doesn't work if you step outside its covering.
Oh, I feel like preaching to you.
That's why you can't get baptized and continue living like a demon and wonder why the devil's attacking you.
Oh, I'm preaching to you right now. I can feel it. He loves Hoshataya.
Because the blood has laws. And if you want to keep protected from the enemy, you've got to stay behind the bloodline. That's why you can't do everything your flesh wants to do, because it's outside the blood. And when it's outside the blood, it exposes you to the enemy.
But when you say flesh, I was bought with a price. You get up in the morning and you tell yourself, you say, self, no matter what you try to do to me, I am submitted to the blood. You can cast out the devil, but you can't cast out your flesh. You've got to train your flesh. You've got to tell your flesh, as much as you want this, you're not going to have this, because it's outside the blood.
Well, it's a spirit. No, it's an addiction. Well, the devil keeps bringing the same thoughts at me. Every day I just keep struggling with it. No, you're not putting it under the Holy Ghost, underneath the blood. You're covered by pure, stainless blood that washes away all sin. And all you have to do to remove the thought is put your flesh underneath the blood.
And then when the devil tries to come, you plead blood.
And when you plead it, submitted to it, it works. That's why elders can tell you story after story after story of pleading the blood, and it worked. Why? Because they were living a life submitted to the blood. As my friend Rashidi Collins said, you can't cast out something that you entertain. In other words, you can't have authority over something you keep inviting in. If you want to have dominion over it, you've got to put it underneath the blood. Number four, you have to submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And here's why. If you do not submit to the Spirit of God, other spirits can come at you. Demonic spirits, human spirits, your own human spirit. But the Spirit of God, when you're submitted to it, it brings you liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Brother Hernandez used to say, liberty is not a thing. Liberty is a location. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, you can find a place every day, boy, full of the Holy Ghost, no matter what's attacking your family. And if you get the Spirit of God in your house, there will be liberty. There will be peace. And there will be joy. We've got too many apostolics walking around with their head down that I can't do anything for God. The devil's got me wrapped up. He does not have you wrapped up. You need an invasion of the Spirit of God in your house tonight, and it will give you liberty in your home. That's why it's not a bad thing to pray every day until you get a breakthrough. It's not a bad thing to search for God every morning until you're talking in tongues. Whether you do it or not, I'm not judging that. I'm just saying it's not a bad thing to make that your goal every morning to pray until you're praying in the Spirit. Why? Because you're about to leave and go out into your day. Would you not rather go out into your day walking in the Spirit? They that walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're falling to the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. Number five, if you're at home, write it down. Submit yourself every morning to the angels of the Lord. Now, I know that some preachers love to preach that they command angels, and I like to laugh at that. It's not biblical to command angels. The Bible said he gives his angels charge over you. Goes against the chain of command. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. They fear, well, I just tell angels what to do. You might think you tell them what to do. There's a reason why you're talking big and don't actually see them. Angels are given authority over us. And it's a good thing every day to submit yourself to the heavenly guests that are near you. Because they see things you can't see. They know they're sent to protect you from car accidents, from crazy stuff. And it's a good thing to say, Lord, I submit to anything that from heaven that you've sent to me. Why? Because if you submit yourself to the will of the Lord, the angels of the Lord, you can have whispers in your dreams, wise men, that give you a different direction home. You can have someone show up in your fire, Shadrach, that you had no idea was there. You can have somebody come into a lion's den, and things that should destroy you can't even talk to you because you're submitted to heaven. Humble yourself. If there's an angel near, Lord, I submit to whatever he's here for. Let me just say this. God does not dispatch angels because they're bored. He dispatches angels for a purpose every time and a reason, no matter what type of angel they are. And so when they're near you, whether you see them or not, it's a good thing to let them know every morning, Lord, if there's angels near, I submit my family to them. Whatever they're wanting to do, whatever they're here for, let it happen. Number six, submit yourself to the will of God every morning. Wake up and submit yourself to the will of God. Why? Because, obviously, sometimes your will and my will is not his will. And if your will is strong, like, does anyone watching online have a strong will? Let me ask your spouse. Does anyone online have a strong will? Your will is strong. But if you submit your will to his, you can pray things, not my will, but thine be done. Your will sometimes does not want what God wants. But here's the flip side of that. If you submit yourself to the will of God,
anything that tries to come against you that day that is not the will of God cannot do what it came to do because you're living a life submitted to His will. Well, God knows I'm submitted. No, God is not. You can't just sit there and say, God knows I'm submitted when you're living crazy and doing stuff that you know is not the will of God. If you know you want God's will, you need to tell Him every morning, I submit myself to the will of God for me today.
And that will keep things away that are not the will of God. And number seven, here's the big one, everybody. Every morning, submit yourself to the man of God. Every morning. This will keep you from bitterness, from pride, from drama, from anger, from jumping from church to church, because submission to your man of God kills anything that would try to elevate you above the words coming through Him to you. Well, it's quiet, and I can feel it right now. I'm going to dig it out. There's something powerful about letting hell know you can't do what you want to do to me because I've got a shepherd that I'm submitted to, that I'm praying for, that covers me. And that thing may feel like you may not get goosebumps, you may not talk in tongues, but you need to let the enemy know every day, if you're going to get to my kids and my marriage, you have to go through my pastor because I am covered by the man of God. I am submitted. And here's why you should pray all seven. Because if you pray six of the seven, the devil will look at the one channel you're not praying and come at you every time. If you're submitted to the pastor and the will of God and the angels and the Holy Ghost and the blood and the name, but you never read your Bible, He will always, always distract you all day, every day, to where you can be on your phone 8 hours reading everything but the Word of God. But then all of a sudden, when you go to use the Word against the enemy, why doesn't it work? Because you're not living a life submitted to it. Billy Cole used to pray every time Holy Ghost outpourings, would pray, by the authority of the Word of God, power of the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost, you know, and for miracles. And there's a lot of preachers that use that as a formula now. They'll get in the middle of church, by the authority of the Word of God, in the middle of church, nothing happens. You know why? They think it's a formula. But what they don't know is every morning before Billy Cole would step into that pulpit that night to preach and to declare people getting the Holy Ghost, he would vocally say, I submit myself to the Word of God. And he would privately submit to it and publicly walk in it. And so you cannot publicly walk in something that you're not private, I feel the Holy Ghost, not privately submitted to. So if you want to stand up and declare God's going to do something, submit yourself to it before anyone's around, and God will back you up when you prophesy. But don't get up and declare things if you're not submitted to it when no one's around. Why are you saying all this? Because the Word said, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. I want you to get this. If you get nothing else, get this, okay? If the devil's attacking and you're resisting and he's not leaving, it's not a faith problem, it's a submission problem. Because the Word can't lie. It didn't say build up your faith, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Because faith doesn't cast devils out, submission does. In fact, Jesus said, by the finger of God I cast out devils. He was so connected, not my will but thine be done. Devils, get out of here. The submission brings the authority. That's why the centurion said, speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. I know the power of authority. I know the power of submission. Can I help somebody watching right now? If you want power over diseases and power over the demonic world and power over attacks in your family, you've got to increase your level of submission. And when you increase your submission, you increase your authority. Submission
Submission does not make you weaker. Submission makes you stronger and mightier than you could ever be with your own will and your own giftings.
Here's what I feel to tell this church right now. Everyone watching, I feel to tell everybody this. Here is the test the Lord is going to give you this week. The Lord wants you to bless your pastor this week, to let the enemy know, you cannot come do to me what you've been doing, because I just got closer to the man of God than I've ever been. Now, it's sad that I have to clarify this, but let me clarify it. Blessing him is not saying, Pastor, I've got something. I need you to go to Orlando and pick it up. It's for you. That's not blessing him. That's stressing him. You know who you are. Blessing Sister Hadabaugh is not saying, hey, I'm going to call you up and tell you everything wrong in my life for 3 hours and then pray for you at the end. I'm preaching really good. I can feel it. Being funny. There's something about saying, God, what can I do personally to let the enemy know I am submitted? How do you do it to the Word? You read the Word. That lets the enemy know you're submitted to the Word. How are you with the name? You declare the name. You thank God. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. We thank God for our food in His name. Everything we do. That's why you scream the name of Jesus going through an intersection when a car's coming, because you know that name has all power. You submit to the blood by not giving into your fleshly desires for sin. You submit to the Holy Ghost by praying and not being satisfied, so you break through and get renewed the Holy Ghost all the time. You submit to the angel of the Lord by saying, God, I walk in humility. I don't know everything. I can't see everything. Direct me, speak to me, whisper to me, guide me. You submit to the will of God by laying your own will down. But you submit to the man of God by strengthening him and blessing him. Well, what if he doesn't need it? It doesn't matter what he needs. I'm feeling God on me right now. You're drawing a line in the sand, letting hell know you can't cross that line and come through that channel anymore, because I am covered by the shepherd of this city. And let me just say this. You've got a man of God that is known globally. It's not known globally with just humans. He's known globally in the demonic world for a reason. And the reason he's known globally in the demonic world is because he's been a world changer in nation after nation after nation. Do yourself a favor and get underneath his covering, because he has can I just say it like I want to say it, Josh Herring style? He's got global respect from hell right now. And what you want to be covered by is not someone who thinks they're powerful, but somebody who walks with authority over the spirits of the world. Why are you preaching this? Because the doors are about to open. And it is the will of Satan to send division in here. But if the body will submit itself before the doors open, when you come in here, I say it to you, you'll never have services more powerful than the ones that are about to happen, because you're walking in unified and submitted like you've never been before. If you're at home, I want you to stand up in your living room right now. Get your family together. We're about to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when I'm done praying, here's what I feel to do tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor to come when I'm done and pray a covering over every person that calls this church home. And anything he feels to cover, he's got a lot of authority. And if you're submitted, you're going to see a protection come over you, a peace come over you favor come to you. Joy come to you. I asked my pastor last week, Brother Kenzie, I said, Bishop, this all happened, this crazy wave of favor hit us. And I said, it was unexpected, crazy stuff. And I said, what does that mean? What's going on that I don't see? He says, very simple. You've elevated your submission. He said, and the increase of submission brings the increase of trust from God. And God has not, I feel God on me. God has not given certain people the things they're asking for because he can't trust you with submission yet. Lucifer said, I got all the gifts, and it went to his head. But let me tell you something. If we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, God, I need my pastor, and I pray, God, let me do something personally for him. That let me show him how much I love him. God, let me do this for the man of God, what you just told hell. Guess what? God can trust me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. In other words, you're not allowed to cast your cares on him until you humble yourself before him. He's not answering the things you care about. There's not enough humility and submission. I'm going to pray. I've come to do this prayer. Come across this state from Pensacola to do this prayer, driving. This is why I am here. I know I am here. I can feel it. And when I am done praying, the man of God for this city, the apostle to this region, period, is going to come up here. And he's going to pray, and whether you feel goosebumps or not, the demons that are near your home are going to back up. The only way they would not back up is if you're not submitted to him. But if you're submitted to him, I tell you in the Holy Ghost tonight that demons will flee homes of people that go to this church tonight that have been comfortable resting in homes and messing with families, because the authority and the fire that's about to come out of your pastor's mouth will come down on every spirit that's attacked your family. And by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, I release a spirit of submission upon this church right now, upon every leader, upon every preacher, upon every musician, upon every singer, upon every teacher, upon everyone used in ministry, anyone used in leadership, and anyone that goes to this church. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that a hedge, a kateshata, would be built tonight, that hell would not be able to penetrate. I command the demons to be blind and not be able to see you. And I pray that you become hidden in humility. I pray the demons would be deaf and not be able to hear the things you're praying and try to stop them. And I pray the demons would be removed from your house by the same angels that remove things in the Word of God. And I close with this. Prince of this area, you do not have the authority that you claim you have. And the man of God that's coming behind me right now has authority over your entire kingdom in this area. And I pray protection. And when the man of God comes to pray right now, I want you to pray for him as he's praying for you, that God would protect him. Would you do that? May the Lord bless you. Let's roll. Here we go in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're going to tear down strongholds right now. In the name of Jesus, we destroy every argument. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come and we surrender and we yield and we submit. And as we are yielding and surrendering, God, you're going to lift up the church. You're going to lift up our families. You're going to lift up our homes. hedge of protection around everyone, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, we commend ourselves to you, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our spirit, to be yours, completely yours. Hallelujah! 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 In the name of Jesus. 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 We come and we yield and we surrender, God. I thank you for the word of God that came forth. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for giving us the keys. I thank you, God, for giving us understanding. I thank you, God, for allowing us, hallelujah, to get into new dimensions and new realms and new heights in you and in your presence and in your spirit. Hallelujah! 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 Shift, atmosphere, change. Ha! In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead over every home. I plead the blood over every family. I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray angels to be, hallelujah, the angels that are there right now, God, that are standing guard over your homes, over our families. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, those angels, Lord, that have been dispatched by you, by heaven, to lead, to guide, to guard, to protect, to defend. Every one of them, Lord, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, to continue, Lord, directing homes and families. Continue, Lord, hallelujah, having an angelic covering over our families and our homes, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray the word to come forth like never before. The word, God, to come forth like never before. The name of Jesus that is proclaimed over all of us through baptism as we've submitted in baptism. I pray the name. Halekeshea, Oreakaya, Meorokote, Kitenevela, Revesha Kiata Malahai. We are people of the name. We are the people of the name. And God, we do submit ourselves. We humble ourselves and we come before you to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways. And God, we know you're going to hear us, that you hear us from heaven, that you hear us from heaven, that you hear us from heaven. You're going to heal. You're going to forgive our sin and you're going to heal our land. Hallelujah. Let it begin in our homes, God. Let it begin in our homes. Let it begin in our hearts. Heal our hearts, God. Heal our homes, God. Heal our communities, God. Heal our cities, God. Heal our state of Florida, God. Heal our land, God. We need healing from you. We need help from above today. We lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let there be an altar in your home right now. Let there be an altar in your home right now. Let there be an altar in your home right now. Hallelujah. We're going to come and we're going to just continue worshiping God. Hallelujah. We're breaking strongholds. We're breaking strongholds. You're breaking strongholds. You're tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. We are tearing down the strongholds. The word of God came so powerfully and so directly to every one of us, giving us the keys to be victorious. And we are going to another level. Hallelujah. I pray to God when we come back, we don't come back the same as we left. But I pray that we come back even in another higher dimension, a greater level, deeper in God, higher in God.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I don't know about you, but I've been just bawling through this whole thing. It's just we are living in a time to where, I say it all the time, I feel like we're no longer facing the footmen. We're in the time of the chariot and horses are coming against us. But we forget sometimes that the weapon of our warfare is mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. But we forget ourselves and how we fit into the whole thing, in the dimensions of an almighty God and what he wants us to have. For those of us that heard this lesson last week of the deeper need, the deeper walks of prayer and the needs for the deeper walks of prayer and what it does with the deeper walk of prayer, and then to go into this right here, it just seemed to fit so much together to let us realize that somehow there's been a shift, there's been a paradigm shift. You know, I get to thinking all the time, looking at the way church used to be and looking at the way church is now, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's changed, what's different here. And I think we have lost our vision. This is so simplistic, a lot of what we heard tonight. But if you don't have a vision of it and there's no application to it, then it's not going to do the work it is needed to do. Block Talk Mom, I'm sure you have something for us.
I agree with you, Bob Bill. I thank you deeply from the bottom of my heart for both of the programs last week and this week. And you and Sister Starla have worked so hard to find the mind of God and to present it to us. And it couldn't, to me, it's perfection. It was just perfection today, everything that he said and what you said, because our pastor, that's his, he has a theme per year, and this year it is the vision. We must understand what that means, and it's just beautiful, and it's very, very serious. I know things personally that you have faced, and you and Sister Starla, and you've just been humbled. You've sought God. That's everything he said tonight. It's we're to be humble. And then by being humble, we have dominion, right? The opposite of what we would think it would be, you know, if we'd have dominion, you know what I mean? So this is excellent. And I dwelt on everything that was said. Several things since I'm 80 years old. I have had some of my most tremendous blessings from pastors. There was a situation that occurred that I really didn't have. It just occurred. It was about, I guess, 25 years ago. And I didn't know what to do. I told the gentleman, I said, well, all I know for you to do is call my pastor, Pastor John Shield, and just talk to him. And when at that point, this gentleman was being very, rude, but after he talked to Brother Shield, he apologized. He said, oh, this has been a total misunderstanding. So there's a protection, an umbrella of the pastor that's over us. And I was asked to do two things for two services for the next 2 weeks. And I thought, wow, I can't do that. And then they said, Pastor Smith requested that you do it, and immediately I had confidence. Immediately. That's my pastor. I just knew that if he said it, then God had put it on his heart, and it just all began to come together. And I'm thrilled to have a pastor. I think it's wonderful, and it's such a gift. And I love the way this gentleman brought out for us to strengthen, not just to load him down with all of our problems, you know, but to strengthen him. or her, or, you know, just bring out the things that are needed. And so I don't want to take a lot of time because I know, while Bill, you always have so many wonderful things to share. So you just go right ahead.
Well, I appreciate everything you were saying there. It just, the thing that just jumped out at me was just how many times we get to treating the Word of God just like it's a magic spell formula or something like that. You know, I command you in the name of Jesus, Satan, get away from me. And, I'm claiming on faith, you know, Lord, that you're going to, you know, do this right here in the name of Jesus. And we do those things. But then it's kind of like what we were talking about last week. When you go into the king's court, you go in with clean hands. If we haven't went back to the basics of just simple repentance to be submitted to the blood, where you stay inside that covering, how many times do we think we're going to play patty cake with the things of God, and we're going to straddle a fence, and we're going to do it my way a little bit, and we're going to do it God's way a little bit, and then we can't understand why we don't see miracles happening in our churches. We don't see the dead coming back to the life. And, you know, I just go back to that over and over where, you know, they came across a man that was lame, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." And I thought, Lord, that's, we need to have that. We need to be that instant in season and out of season. It's got to be where we're submitted to his will all the time in every area of our life, to where it's not just one of those things that it's a one-time thing where you repent of sins, but as you grow, there's a whole lot more to just being born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's great to be a baby, but he wants us to grow and mature. He wants us to have consecration in our life. He wants us to have that love for him, not because these things, he's doing it to be mean to us, because he understands that when we're submitted to him and we put things away, the things of this world, that it's going to strengthen us. It's going to empower us. It's actually going to give us an authority to stand on his authority. When you can take God's authority and supply it to your life because you're under submission to it, there's not anything that my God can't do. And if he could do it back for the churches in the 60s and the 70s, where I can remember seeing the Shekinah glory of God coming into the service, it'd be like a shimmer in the air. It was so strong. And you would leap for joy. And it seemed like you were just like in a cloud or something, just like lifting you up and easing you down. It's just the presence of God was there so mighty because of the type of worship that people had back during that time. It wasn't one of those things, everybody praise the Lord and someone claps their hands about 7 or 8 times. It was one of those things to where people sometimes were prone on their face before God, or they were leaping for joy, or they were running around a church, or they were jumping up and down, or screaming at the top of their lungs how much they loved Jesus. They were making a real sacrifice of praise. And it's something that it's real easy to do those things in emotion if we're not careful. But I've seen all my life that when you do things in emotion, there's no change afterwards. But when you do things through the anointing of the Spirit of God, and chains are being broken, and things in your life that's hindering you are being put away, then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself, as Dad used to say, walking in tall cotton. You're going to find yourself being able to walk above those things that used to keep you bound, not sitting there and playing with them and inviting them in and trying to figure out why everything's so tangled up and messed up in your life. And I'm not saying there's not going to be trials and tribulations, because God brings those things in to work patience in our life. Sometimes he has to grind off some rough edges here and there, but as long as we're submissive to that potter's will, and he molds us and shapes us according to his will, God has a perfect plan for our life. And in his plan, we're not going to fail. We're not going to lose. We're not going to be trampled. We're not forgotten about. We're his. We are his children. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are part of God's family in a way that I think sometimes we don't really understand, because there's so much dysfunction in families in this day and time. And we get to walking after the flesh and trying to say the things of the Spirit, and it just don't work. It just does not work. And when you get to thinking, you know, and I do this a lot, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief, add to my faith. But I think God was wanting me to, this message, when he helped me find this, was he's like, okay, I want to entrust you with more things. You want to be used for higher gifts and higher callings and the things, the spiritual things in your life, to be able to be a vessel to be used for more glory. Well, guess what? You need to be submissive just a little bit more before I can entrust you with these things. It's not just something. The Bible lets us know that he will add to spiritual gifts in our life. We got to have a desire, and we got to seek after those things, and we got to ask Him. But in that process, it's always a two-edged sword. We got to understand this part of being submissive. I'm saying this, and it's just it's so easy to say it's words. It's just some of those things that we can say, just like in the name of Jesus, be healed. But if you're not seeing those things actually happening, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I saw those things happening in churches when I was younger, and I'm not seeing those things happen now. So what's changed? God's true to His word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not ever going to change. The things He's established in His word is who He is. He's faithful over those things. He's put Himself accountable to the things in His word that He put there to establish for us. He's watching over it to perform those things in the lives of His people. It's not His will that any should perish. But living for God is not something you do accidentally. Living for God is not one of those things you do. It just, you know, I think I'm just going to do better today or something like that. It's a process to where you have to, like he said, the blood has to be put out there, and you got to stay in that house. You can't go out there and play patty cake with the things of the world and expect all of a sudden that everything's going to work. I know a young man that tried that by the name of Samson. It didn't work out too good for him. He just thought, well, hey, I'm under this Nazarite vow and everything, and I'm strong, and I can kill all these things. And then he started letting little things of his vow all of a sudden didn't have no value to him. And when it lost value to him, and finally he went one step too far and let him cut his hair. And then next thing you know what? He has no strength. And they take him, they bind him up like an animal, and they have him grinding their corn or whatever in the mill. And next thing you know, he finally realizes after they blinded him, they've actually gouged his eyes out of his head. And then he realizes, whoa, you know, I had something here. Lord, forgive me right now and allow me to be used for you here at the end. But how much better would it have been if he had just submitted it first? I've always had problems with the whole situation of the man when he was bringing the ark back. And all of a sudden, you know, it kind of jostled a little bit. It looked like it was going to fall. And the man reached up and he touched it. And what happened? God struck him down. I thought, man, this doesn't quite seem fair, Lord. But stop and look at it. The ark was meant to have these sticks run through the staves that was put through the sides, and the priests were supposed to carry it on their shoulder. It was supposed to be something that had respect and honor, not something that became common into your life, that it lost its meaning as to what it's supposed to be. Because, see, He's God, and we're not. But sometimes we want to put ourselves on equal level and say, God's going to do it my way or no way. Well, guess what? It's going to be no way. But as he did that, then what they do, they put the ark and they put it on a donkey cart. A donkey cart. It was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. They took something that had value, something that God gave them that had meaning, and they just demeaned the whole thing, put it on a donkey cart. When that man reached up to touch it, that was the last straw. God has limits, and he has certain places that he'll let you go, and he'll let you go out so far. But when you make a promise or a vow to God, he's watching. And when you do these things where all of a sudden you don't do those, the things that you promised, he may let you go so far. But I'm telling you, if you can't see the signs of the time around us and you don't get kind of worried about the end of time and knowing that God could come back any time, look how fast that our world changed to all of a sudden we had this virus going along. All of a sudden businesses were shut down. People were told to stay home. How fast that happened. And the next thing you know, we got this Black Lives Matter thing. And we got all these riots and things and businesses and courthouses and things being burned all over. And all of a sudden the things that were being called good are called evil. And the things that are evil are being called good. How fast that happened. Do we just blinded to think that just that much quicker that God couldn't just come back? And he's going to be a good judge. He's going to judge us based on what is there. If we don't have all of our sin under the blood, we're going to be judged for all those sins. It just talking about myself, I wonder sometimes how in the world do we get shifted so far from one side to the other? How do we get shifted when we saw things and we were witness to the things of God in such a mighty way? And I'm not saying there were things perfect in these churches. you got a church, there's people inside of it, there's going to be problems, I guarantee you. It's just the way it's going to be. But how did things shift so much? How all of a sudden did my knowledge and what I thought become more important than the things that I had been taught? How did it all of a sudden become where I think it's this way and all of a sudden kind of stray away from the things of God, where he says not to even look on the things that are evil or to be separate from the things of the world? You can't serve two masters. You got to love one and hate the other. It's not no gray area. It's black and white. How in the world do all of a sudden we come up with all this gray and all these things in our own mind? Who do we think we are? Block Talk Mom.
And you keep going. You got it.
I think I have pretty much preached myself out on this one. It just I listened to this 3 times today, and I was so thankful when the Lord directed me to it, because I was like, I mean, I didn't have anything done yet. I didn't even know where I was going, and I prayed, and God led me to this message. See, one of the things I love about preaching is that it applies to me just as much as it does to the people that you're sharing things with. We're all in this same boat together. It's not judging other people, and it's not trying to put yourself up and put other people down. I don't want to see anybody I know lost. This girl has got me in all this mess that I'm in right now. The last thing I would want to see is her soul lost and have to go to hell. Who knows? This might be the whole purpose of the whole thing, that maybe somehow I get to be a witness to her. We just don't know. But when we're submissive to God's will, he has a plan, and he don't always share it with us. I told someone the other day, I'm sure Daniel, when they changed the law, the last thing he thought was, okay, I'm going to go ahead and keep on praying, and then the next thing he's going to find himself thrown in the lion's den. But the other side of that was, and as the preacher mentioned tonight, was that God delivered him from the lion's den. And the people that meant to cause him harm and had him put there, they ended up in the lion's den. They didn't know angels to come along and shut the mouth of the lion. They were eaten and devoured and torn to pieces. Sometimes we got to go through that part of being in the lion's den to get to victory. Sometimes we got to go through what seems like the darkest and the worst time of our lives sometimes to get to the part of victory. Anyway, that's all I had, Blog Talk Mom. I don't know if you had anything else you want to share. Or
no.
I don't know if Starla has anything.
Yeah, I loved everything you said, Wild Bill. You're really, 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 really on target. And I have, right at this particular phase of my life, you know, I just experienced a miracle last Tuesday when I returned to the heart doctor. And I know y'all prayed, and you felt like Sister Starla prayed that prayer of faith. And they were confirming that I was going to have my heart dealt with, whatever, surgery, whatever. And I was completely healed. He just said, you know, come back in a year for my treatment. And there was such a beautiful move of God there. And for, again, I know everybody surely doesn't believe in my ministry of rap music, but I will testify that it has been one of the most awesome doorways and opportunities for me to share the pure word of God. And I'm so thankful that God has done that, you know, in my life, and that my son would be such a tremendous inspiration. While Bill, you and Sister Starla, and you have said so many times, it's exactly the word I needed when maybe there was opposition, you know, to what I was doing. And I love you so much, and we all mean so much to each other. And I love you. This Brother Smith had wanted me to do a rap, and I don't think people quite understand. Anyway, I called Brother Jordan, who does the music, and I said, is there any way — he doesn't have a studio anymore — I said, is there any way we can do this? And he said, well, he said, I'll try to send you something on the internet. And so the only thing he could think of was something he'd done in 2018, years ago. He said, and he got so discouraged because he thought it was good and there was nowhere to use it. He couldn't use it anywhere. And all of a sudden it just came to his mind and he sent it to me. And when I began to put the lyrics with the soundtrack, it was perfect. Just perfect. I love the way God does things. He everything you said, well, Bill, and has been said tonight. He's God. He knows what to do. You know, just believe it and receive it. And I really appreciate y'all's prayers for my sickness. I just really did not want to go, you know, have to go through that. And it was a witness to the doctor in his office and to the ladies there. They're just very sweet, very close to me. I came home today. It was, I was trying to get some things done. And so there were five children appeared on my porch, which I have porch church, I guess we call it. They were from all different walks of life, everything, you know, whatever. And it was one of the most beautiful 30 minutes. Of course, my dog liked to have a heart attack because he didn't want him up here at all. But I could get him quiet maybe for a little bit. And we had bottles of water. They were so hot and so thirsty. And we drank water and we all say, I say the Lord's Prayer, a phrase at a time, and they repeat it after me. And it's just so beautiful. And then this one little boy just took off running. And I said, what's wrong? Anyway, we found out that I remind him of his grandmother, and his grandmother passed away. And he was missing her really, really bad. So we got to talk about heaven, how we're all going to get to see each other again if we're ready. And I explained about being born again. And the little boy came back up on the porch, and I eased down by his side. And I said, I love you. And he just beamed. He just, oh, God is so good. And he makes things just, he can take ashes and make something beautiful. That's our God. And he desires to do that. He loves us so much. And I love you so much for the program, for the broadcast. And I just look forward to it each week. And I love you. And that's all I have to say.
Well, we love and appreciate you too, Blog Talk Mom. And we were really just totally enthused to share your testimony at church up here. And it even enthused the pastor who's been going through some serious problems with cancer. And he just got up there and said, you know, hey, I'm going to believe the next time I go in and they got to do that next procedure, they're going to look in here, there's not going to be any polyps. They're going to be gone. You know, and
wow.
So it adds to people's faith when you share your testimony, you know. And that man has been through it. I mean, he has really been through an ordeal with his health the last few years. And he's got a lot of grit. He's tough. I give him that. Some of the things where he's went out with his feeding tube and went out there and was building houses and just took that tube and just threw it up over his shoulder, you know, while he's out there working. I'm like, I think I'd be home crying like a mashed cat, like, Lord, why? What have I done? You know, help me. You know, he just keeps on going. And he's one of those people that you would think that he would have a lot of bitterness with all this. And he's definitely a person that really has love for people. He don't hold anything against them from past. He's very, very unique in that his capacity to be able to do that. Because as I say all the time, that love thy neighbor as thyself is easy to read, but it's a whole lot harder to do. And it's hard to have the right attitude with it. And I was really just, you know, the last couple of weeks just looking at the three types of sin. You know, there's either omission, where you don't do things God wants you to do, or there's that thing where you go out there and you do the things you know you're not supposed to do, and then it's our attitude. We can allow our attitude to get to be this stinking thing to where we just all of a sudden don't realize that it's actually gotten there. And it's actually a type of sin that we are committing against God. And it's also one of those things that can be a stumbling block to people around us. So I thank you for all the kind words there, Blog Talk Mom. Tried to see if Starla had anything she wanted to say, and she's not got back. So I'm guessing that she has probably got a lot on her plate. We just found out today that Jared has this COVID virus, and so just keep him in your prayers.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And his
yeah,
wife is due to have another surgery on her ankle, And so if she's got it again, then she's got to go through the whole thing to wait until that passes before she can go in and get that done. She has a real struggle after the vehicle accident they had with her ankle. I mean, it almost tore her foot completely off. And, you know, what they put together is just, it's all stiff and she can't hardly move and she's in pain all the time. And you know, it's just, there's a lot of people in need right now. This virus is going along. I can't believe how much of this is sweeping through the churches. And that's part of the reason that I think God led me to this message here, was that I'm wanting more faith. I'm wanting to be used more for things with healing. I want to be able to reach out and know that I have God's blessing to use his authority to go out and do these things. And it's just like this message here was like, okay, we understand you got to have a deeper walk in prayer. There's power that comes with that. You got to, if you want these things, you got to ask, seek, and knock. You know, you got to have a real desire. And when you have a real desire for, when much is given, much is required, we all know these things, but then to actually look at a way to start applying them to your life. And some of the things I thought was a little, I won't say hinky with some of the things he said there, but the way he put it together, some of the stuff with the angels, it took me the third time of listening to it to really get, you know, what he was really saying there about the things from heaven that God sees. They have a purpose, you know, and so we need to understand that, you know, we're not going to change their purpose. You know, when God gives them directions and the Most High has told them what they're to do and to watch over us and protect us and maybe put a word of wisdom or lead someone to us. And I've been part of that, and you have too, of entertaining angels unaware, where you didn't even have a clue. You thought you were talking to a person, and all of a sudden you're like, where'd they go? I won't ever forget that night. Me and Starla was on the streets doing that street service in downtown Nashville, and there was people. I had not been in downtown Nashville in years. And all of a sudden, Starla's got this boldness, and we got this drunk kid walking down the street with these two other boys. And Starla's like, do you want to have the Holy Ghost? I'm like, who is this?
Wow.
Woman? Where did she come from? And then she's poking at me like, pray for him. Where everybody else of the, I don't know, it's probably 100 of us downtown, they all went on around the corner and left. And all of a sudden, there was someone standing with us that hadn't been there before while we were praying with that young man. And it was not just like it was a shelter, but it was just to kind of come along and give us a peace in what we were doing and encouragement and strength. And then we got to looking after that, and they were nowhere to be seen. And I saw this one young man. It was clear he was demon-possessed, that he had it in his mind he was going to cause harm and among the group. He was walking straight at us, and all of a sudden you saw him hit like an invisible wall. And then he bounced off of it and veered off in another direction. We do entertain angels. God does send his angels down here to help take care of us at times. So anyway, we're kind of rambling here, but I do love each and every one of you. I want to thank all you guys that listen to the show each and every week. And I hope that, you know, you take time to go to the archives of the show. You can download those to any smart device for free. There's no charge for it. They go back several years, especially, I know I say it a lot, and there's links to it on our Facebook page if you go down far enough, to where I posted it several times about the Bible study last week on the deeper walk of prayer. I don't care what kind of pastors and teachers you have in your church, this is one of those things that everybody can gain something from listening. And I pray that this blesses people as much as it does us. And we'll be back here next week at your place. God bless everybody. Good night.